So we get to continue our series today entitled Red Letters, and we're speaking out of the book of Revelation. And today we get to talk about the letter that was written to the church in Philadelphia. And before we jump into PowerPoint or we talk about any of those things, I want to do something that I believe is a very powerful thing in church. When you get to hear the Word of God just spoken and read over you and your life. So nothing's going to pop up on the screen behind me. I'm just going to read to you the passage that we are hearing from today. Does that sound good? So if you need to bow your heads, remove yourself from the distractions that are sitting next to you. Yes, they're distractions. Gage is a distraction. So close your eyes, put your head down, okay? Brooke is one too. Charlie's not, she's a saint. Let's read. Revelation 3, starting in verse 7. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. What he closes, no one can open. I know all things that you do. And I've opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you've obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love because you have obeyed my command to persevere. I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write them on my name of God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is doing and saying in the churches. Lord, we thank you for your word, and may we not just be hearers of it today, may we be doers of it. Lord, I pray that it would pierce our hearts in such a way that it changes our actions in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, I've been praying for everybody that's in this room today. I've been praying that there would be people in this room that are going to experience a living God today. And I know that there's people in this room that you are going through some shaking in your life. I know that there's people in this room that you're going through some things that you feel like are never going to stop or you're never going to get beyond it. Now, I want to talk about one of the natural disasters that we could experience in our life. And we don't experience it here up north that often. But the thing I want to talk about is an earthquake, okay? Can we all put our Daniel Tiger hats on and imagine for a second? Because I know that nobody in this room is going to be able to relate to this right off the bat, but there's some earthquakes in our life. There's some things in our life that can change us. And when we think about this, I want us to understand that Jesus isn't looking for people that are perfect. Jesus isn't looking for people that have great strength. Jesus is looking for people that have great faith. And we learned that in the text that we just read. We learned that. But you're all in the Mon Valley right now. Whether you're a Mon Valleyer born and raised, or you're somebody that's transplanted here, but no matter what, you're in the Mon Valley. And the Mon Valley way is, I'm going to just stay strong. I'm not going to let anybody know anything. I'm going to muscle through this. I'm going to white knuckle it. I'm just going to keep moving. Don't let anybody know your business. Stay strong. That's not the type of people that God's looking for. God's looking for people that that don't just try to be strong, but they recognize his strength and they walk in faith. Now, how am I going to tie the earthquake back in? Earthquakes are shaking. Earthquakes cause destruction. Earthquakes cause for things to be displaced. How am I going to bring this back to the text that we just read? I'm happy you asked. It's actually going to be seamless. In 17 AD, a devastating earthquake struck Philadelphia. Buildings collapsed, families fled into the streets, but what made life so difficult wasn't the earthquake. It was the aftershock. It was the things that happened after the earthquake. Now, I want you to think about something that happened in your life, and that thing had ripple effects across years, decades, months, even just weeks. These people, for years, the ground kept moving. And I want you to think about, imagine trying to go to sleep and the ground's moving. Imagine trying to put your kids to bed and the ground is shaking. Imagine saying, good night, little Timmy, I love you. You're safe. And then you go and you're scared to death in the other room of what could happen. Imagine sitting at the dinner table, eating dinner, and things are shaking still. And all the while, people are thinking, is this the one? Is this the next one? Is this the big one? Is this the one that's going to take us out? People learned to live ready to run because they had been hurt. Even when nothing was happening, even when there wasn't an issue and everything was calm, they were still thinking, what if? And some of you are thinking right now, I've never been in an earthquake. I've never had that. I'm not talking about physical earthquakes now. I'm talking about spiritual ones and the things that have shaken your life. We all do it. I have friends down south, and they talk about this before Katrina and after Katrina. And you're like, well, we don't have hurricanes up here. We don't talk about that. We weren't affected by Katrina this way. You all do it, and here's the way. Before COVID, after COVID. Before that traumatic experience that happened in my life, after that traumatic experience that happened in my life. It's called arrested development. Something happened in your life, and you stayed stuck there. In some way, shape, or form, it arrested you, and you can't move past it. We know exactly what these people were feeling. We might not have ever sat through an earthquake, but we know what it's like to go through shaking in our life. We've all been hurt before. We've all lost someone before. We've all walked through a horrible diagnosis, or will. We've all experienced betrayal. We've all experienced some financial pressure. We've all experienced anxiety in some way, shape, or form. Some of us have walked through depression with somebody. Some of us have walked through addiction, but all of us have been affected in some way by it. We all know. Now, every little shake that may happen in our life, we may be asking the question, is this the next disaster? Is this the next problem? Is this the next thing? And we shrink back because we're so scared. They were doing the same thing, and Jesus wrote them this letter. Jesus didn't say, I'll stop every earthquake. Don't worry, the shaking is over. I got this. I hold the world in my hand. No, that's not what he said. He said, I will make you a pillar and you will never have to leave again. I will make you so strong that when the shaking comes, nothing will knock you over. That's what he said. What an incredible promise that Jesus is promising us, not an easier life. That's not what he's promising us. He's promising us an unshakable future. I met Jesus 21 years ago, and let me tell you, things did not get more simple. The shaking didn't stop. Actually, it got worse. but better all at the same time. How does that happen? Because I wasn't finding my strength in myself or the world around me anymore. I was finding my strength in him through the faith I was getting to walk in because of pillars who were examples to me in my life. Jesus won't take it away. But we ask the question, how do we remain faithful when life keeps shaking? Is that a question that some of you are asking? Am I in the right room today? Okay. All right, well, we're going to talk about it. I love these first two rows. We got let's do it and then woo. Can I get a ha? Hey, oh, look at this. We're flowing today. We're rolling. I'm well rested. I'm so thankful for the men and women that allowed me the opportunity to rest in July and not preach in July. Some of you came to me, are you okay? Tell me the truth. What's wrong? Why aren't you preaching? Because I'm a part of a church that gives pastors the opportunity to rest because they know that they need to get filled up. Because if they don't get filled up, they don't have anything to pour out. So thank you to all the people that made July possible. Now I'm going to try to read the Word of God. My eyes are leaking. Write this letter to the angel in the church of Philadelphia, verses 7 and 8. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. And what he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do. I've opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Listen, Jesus begins by reminding them. He said, before I tell you what I'm going to do, before I help you through what you're walking through, I'm going to remind you of who I am. I'm going to remind you that I'm him. I'm the one. The world tries to take every statement that the Bible's already created and steal it. That statement, I'm him. I'm him. Not, listen, Joe Burrow is not him. Jesus is. You're not him or her. Jesus is the man. And he holds the key to every aspect of our life. Before I tell you what I can do, allow me to remind you who I am. Who is he? He is holy. He is perfect. He is separate from sin. He is completely trustworthy. That's who he is. He is true. He's not just somebody that teeter-totters on truth. He is truth. And he's the one who holds the key. Isaiah 22, verse 22, it reads, I will give him the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. What do keys represent? Keys represent authority. I'm giving you the power for something. And when we recognize that he has all authority and he has the final authority because he's the one who holds the keys, it changes things. He opens things, no one shuts them. He shuts things and no one can open them. He is the boss. So why? How can we personally apply this to our life? How can we personally walk in this? Number one, we can recognize that sometimes we spend too much time as sons and daughters of the King trying to force open doors that Jesus never intended to open for us in the first place. Ha! I should have got that was a good spot for one of you to respond with that. Because we spend so much time mourning doors that Jesus intentionally closed. Well, right? We think about, oh, I used to walk this way, but now I don't, and I'm sad about it. That door of our life has been closed. Stop mourning the past and start walking into the future. Sometimes closed doors don't just represent, no, don't go in there. They represent, hey, that's closed because I want to protect you. I want to protect you from going into that room. I want to protect you from walking through that door. I want to protect you from the world that's out there in some areas. I'm locking that door. Our son, Lennon, he's a phenomenal climber. Very early age, he turned our house into a ninja warrior course. And he knew how to open things from a very young age. He knew that he nothing could hold him down. And he would just sit in his car seat and go, see that? See that? I'm here by choice. You're not going to lock me down. And then he was young. And then he would climb the doors and unlock things and open it up. And Rachel and I were concerned that he would end up, because he has FOMO, fear of missing out, so that he would wake up or we would be sleeping and he'd be like, I'm going out on a porch. I'm going out. My bike's out there. My scooter's out there. I'm going out. So we had to install a lock at the top of the door. Some people would come in like, oh, you live in McKeesport. You need all those locks. I'm like, no, I have a son named Lennon. I'm worried about keeping people in, not keeping people out. I got something if they want to come in. The Holy Spirit. I'm covered by the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. You all thought something else. We put a lock and we protected him. We didn't hold him back from experiencing the outside. He's been outside, but we protected him. And then we realized that he was faithful enough, smart enough to not have to worry about that lock because he taught us that he can scale flat surfaces. All he needed was one little footstool, and he sent himself up that doorknob, and bloop. He was like, once again, I'm here because I choose to be, right? But what doors are you continually trying to get through? And Jesus is just saying, I'm protecting you. Sometimes open doors are open on purpose for us to walk through. And I want you to know that how do we apply this as Bridge City Church, as the ones united together, as the group of called out ones, as the ecclesia? We need to recognize that Jesus has opened a few doors for us as Bridge City Church. People are coming, lives are changing, leaders are being raised, children are hearing about Jesus, and those are all open doors, and we need to continue to walk through them. And we're going to capitalize on some of these open doors because when people walk in here, they feel like they've been welcomed home. That's why we have the sign that says it. But we know that we need to take a step forward in our home. And you'll be hearing about it a lot more here coming up in the few days and weeks and months ahead. But we are starting, we're going to expand our home. We're going to. And you all are a part of it. And we're going to create some open doors that Jesus has already opened for us, and we're going to walk through them. So stay tuned for that. Let us recognize that our future is not determined by people, but it's determined by the King who holds the key. But Jesus reminded them and understood that they had little strength, yet great faithfulness. Verses 8 through 10, I know all the things you do. I've opened the door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you've obeyed the word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars. The red letters are gangster. Those liars who say they're Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have obeyed my commands and persevered, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I know you have little strength, he said. Notice Jesus didn't start with criticism. He didn't criticize them. He complimented them. I know what you do. I see you. We live in a world that is overwhelmed by criticism, and it's exhausting. But you know how you stop criticism in its tracks? With compliments. Let me give you an example of this. Let's think about road rage for a second. I know there's a lot of recovering road ragers in the room. I'm one of them. My name's Nick. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm recovering from road rage. Not like aggressive road rage, like little bits. Like I used to tell people they were number one. You get what I'm saying? You catch what I'm throwing? All right. You know how you stop the criticism about somebody being angry about your driving dead in its tracks? You compliment them. Have a great day. Great. Come in. It puts it out right away. If you're just kind and get in the habit of paying compliments to people, watch how not only you change, but the world around you changes. You know what is not a frustrating place for me? Walmart. I do not get frustrated. Guess why? Because I go in and I know the lines are going to be long. I tell myself that. The lines are going to be long. God, give me an opportunity to be an example of your light today. Guess where else I don't get frustrated? Aldi, because I know the lines are going to be long at the Braddock Hills Aldi and the McKeesport Aldi because they do not have self-checkout because some of y'all can't be trusted. The North for Sales Aldi's perfect. It's just self-checkout. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Purpose in your heart that you're going to be someone that overflows with compliments instead of criticism. We can criticize everything until the day is over, until the next one starts. But why? Why? Do as Jesus did and start with compliments. Heaven measures differently than we do. The world celebrates influence, but Jesus celebrates our faithfulness. Notice Jesus praises, you kept my word, you did not deny me, you persevered. Those things aren't impressive. Those things aren't unbelievable examples of strength. No, those are unbelievable, awesome expressions of faithfulness. That's all those are, faithful. Not impressive, faithful. You want to put your Daniel Tigers on for, imagine with me for a second again? Yeah, you good? The left side's good, center good? Right side? All right, I want you to imagine you see somebody and you give them a heavy box, like a really heavy box. And you know they're struggling with it. You know that they're struggling to carry it because it's heavy, but they refuse to quit. Here's an example. I'll paint the picture a little bit more for you. Lenin is motivated. He was motivated for so long to be able to carry a whole entire case of water from our street up our steps onto our porch into the house. And he would struggle. And I remember the first time he did it, he got to the top of the steps and he turned around and all he saw was me. I was just so proud. I was so excited for him, not because of his unbelievable example of human strength. Not because of that, but because of his determination. Yes. He didn't want to quit. Zero quit. And sometimes I think that's the way Jesus looks at us as his children. He doesn't want to see how strong you are. He wants to see how determined you are, that you're not going to quit on him, you're not going to quit on his word, you're not going to quit on his promises. That's what Jesus sees. Think about some examples in the Bible. David, Gideon, the widow's oil, the five loaves and two fish. These are great examples of determination and will. How about this? The disciples. Talk about a hard-headed group that was determined. Let me paint the picture for you a little bit more. There's probably going to be about 550 people at church today, all three worship experiences. The White Oak campus launched with 67 really determined people. 67. We don't have a place to meet. We don't care. We'll meet outside. We don't have a place to meet. Oh, I found one. It's a bar in White Oak. Across the street from a building we might be able to renovate. Sounds good. Rachel's job when we first launched was to walk around with a bottle of Febreze on all the chairs because they smelled like stale cigarettes, and to go through the bar where our children's ministry was and put all the signs down for what they were promoting. They were t-shirts that weren't dry. Some of you have no idea. None. That was her job. She was determined to make those chairs smell like roses instead of Pall Malls. All right, sorry, guys. Newports. Yes, we're in McKeesport. I forgot we were in McKeesport. White Oak Area. Newports. Marlboro Lights. The bar was open for a long time. There were some Pall Malls in there. There were some filterless cigarettes being smoked over there. I guarantee it. Those 67 people had little strength, but we had a great God. Amen. We have a great God that's still leading and still looking at our determination to move forward. Listen, some of you don't have strength today, and that's totally okay. You don't need to be strong. You don't need to be strong emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. You don't need to be strong. You need to be faithful. That's what God is asking for, faithfulness. Jesus isn't asking for what you don't have. He's asking you what you do have. Do you have a faith in me? Do you trust me? Do you read my word and follow it? Do you apply it to your life? Don't tell me what you don't have. Tell me what you do have. Listen, give Jesus your little. Why? Because he specializes in that. He specializes in turning little to much. God doesn't need your strength. He wants your faithfulness. Now, I know that things get hard and feels like the shaking's never going to stop. Jesus knows that too, so he tells us what to do. He tells us to hold fast. Why? Because in verse 11, he tells us, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. I'm coming back. What's he coming back for? Us, a victorious church. He's returning for his bride. May he find us faithful. What are we called to hold on to? We're called to hold on to his word. We're called to hold on to his promises. We're called to hold on to his church. We're called to hold on to his mission and his name. Culture tells us to compromise. Jesus says, hold fast. Culture tells us to keep quiet, shut your mouth. Jesus tells us to speak up with great faith and to never deny his name anywhere. Culture tells us to quit, give up. Jesus tells us to hold on. This word, hold on, hold fast, literally means don't loosen your grip. Don't. Sometimes we just need humbled. We need humbled a little bit. The worship team's going to start to make their way up. We're going to start to land the plane. But I want to talk about a humbling moment real quick. Jimmy, can I use you as an example? Has anybody ever heard of a one wheel before? Anyone? Anyone ever heard of a one wheel? Okay, you've seen them downtown. You've seen them around. It's one wheel, and you stand like this, and it's battery powered. It's fast. Okay. We were at my house one night, and friend of ours brought it over, and I see a D1 athlete who can do anything he wants to physically get on this thing and humble. He gets humbled quick. He probably has a scar on his toe. Then I'm like, you know what? I could do it. So I get on this thing. I've never been more humbled in my life by something that is minute compared to me. And Chuck is there, close friend of mine, and I'm going forward on this one wheel, and I realize that I have no idea how to stop, and I'm headed towards a highway. and I grab Chuck so hard. And I'm whispering in a grown man's ear, "Don't let me go." "I'm gonna jump. You ready?" We both count 1, 2, 3. And I jump. I held so fast to that man's neck, I thought I was gonna pop his head off his shoulder. Are you holding on that tightly to Jesus? Are you holding fast? "Don't let me go. I got a big test tomorrow. Don't let me go. I have a big interview next week. I'm holding fast to your promises. You say you have a plan to prosper me, not to harm me. I'm holding on to that." Are you holding on to those things? Or are you holding on to what the world says? I want you to hold on to God's word and his promises and his truths like I held on to Chuck's neck on a one wheel. "Don't let me go." Why? Because he's coming soon. And he wants to find pillars in the faith. He wants to find people that know that he will never leave you or forsake you. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received what Jesus Christ did on the cross, today's your day. Today is your day. Because remember, he holds the key. And the world thought that they closed the door on him. They thought that by nailing him to the cross, the door was closed. And then they wanted to take it a step further and say, "Well, you know what? Let's take him off the cross. Let's put him in a tomb. All right, good. Did that close it? Or no, let's roll a giant stone in front of the tomb. That'll do it. Well, wait a second. Just in case, let's put some guards outside the door. Just to make sure that we once and for all shut the door on this Jesus guy." You can't shut the door on him. You can only choose not to walk through it. And some of you, he's asking you to walk through the door, and through that door is a cross that he gave his life for you on. Did you accept that? If you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment, I want today to be all of those things. And I want you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but the greatest thing you will ever do, and that is just slip your hand up to heaven and say, "God, that's me. I don't have a day, I don't have a time, but I need to walk through that door." Don't worry about the people in front of you, behind you, beside you. It's not about them. It's about you and Jesus right now. If you're like me and you're afraid to raise your hand, all you got to do is tap your phone on that card on the seat in front of you and let us know you want to make Jesus the forgiver of your past, the leader into your future. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. We'll empower you. Amen? For the rest of us, are you walking in the power of the empty tomb? Are you walking in the power that that empty tomb represents? If you're not, it's time to walk fully in the victory and freedom that that empty tomb provides. And just a matter of fact, we have a weekend coming up that'll help you do that. Guess what it's called? Victory and Freedom. That's a shameless plug for it. If you're a guy in this room and you're not walking in the power of the empty tomb, you need to sign up. If you're a lady in this room and you haven't already signed up, sign up now because it's going to get filled. And you're going to be like, "I wanted to go." Well, you didn't want to go bad enough that you signed up early. I'm done holding back punches. I'm serious. I'm getting older. I don't have much filter left. I'm done. I have a little filter, but it's not as strong as it once was. I don't have time to waste. Sign up for victory and freedom if you're not walking in the full power of the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now we get to be an example of the King across the world. Here's an example on how. Check out the video behind me.